The lesson I was thinking about doing just turned out to take a lot more preparation because it was going to be a lot more interactive. And it's coming, so just know that it'll be coming down the pike here sometime in the future. But for today, you know, it never hurts to look at the scriptures that we know well even, because every time we open up the Word, we can find something new that we maybe didn't see, or a perspective that maybe we didn't think about, and such like. And so, if you'll go ahead and put the scripture up, we'll go ahead and I'll just read this, and you can follow along. This is from the New Century Version of the Bible, and it's the version that I use most of the time. It's the version that I like to use. I like the way it says things sometimes. It makes it clear, at least for my feeble mind. And so, my brothers and sisters, be full of joy in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it will help you to be more ready. Watch out for those who do evil, who are like dogs, who demand to cut the body. We are the ones who are truly circumcised. We worship God through His Spirit, and our pride is in Christ Jesus. We do not put trust in ourselves or anything we can do, although I might be able to put trust in myself. If anyone thinks he has reason to trust himself, he should know that I have greater reason for trusting in myself. I was circumcised 8 days after my birth, and I am from the people of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin. I am a Hebrew, and my parents were Hebrews. I had a strict view of the law, which is why I became a Pharisee. I was also enthusiastic. I tried to hurt the church. No one could find fault with me the way I obeyed the law of Moses. Those things were important to me, but now I think they are worth nothing because of Christ. Not only those things, but I think that all things are worth nothing compared with the greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of Him, I have lost all those things, and now I know they are worth trash. This allows me to have Christ and to belong to Him. Now I am right with God, not because I follow the law, but because I believe in Christ. God uses my faith to make me right with Him. I want to know Christ and the power that raised Him from the dead. I want to share in His sufferings and become like Him in death, that I have hope that I myself will be raised from the dead. I do not mean that I am ready as God wants me to be. I have not yet reached that goal, but I continue trying to reach it and to make it mine. Christ wants me to do that, which is the reason He made me His. Brothers and sisters, I know that I have not yet reached the goal, but there is one thing I always do. Forgetting the past and straining toward what's ahead, I keep trying to reach the goal and get the prize for which God has called me through Christ to the life above. He begins by saying, be full of joy. You know, he says it again in Philippians chapter 4, where he says, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. What does it mean to rejoice in the Lord? Well, first of all, and though the world makes us sad, it's the world that brings us down. It's the world that causes us grief. And sometimes we let that grief follow us into the fellowship that we have with one another. Sometimes we're just so distraught. But he says, rejoice in the Lord. And he says this throughout the scriptures, to be joyful, to be happy. And if we think about what we've got, if we think about the depth and have the love of God and the depth that we should have it, we should feel joy, that the world cannot bring us down, that no matter what happens to us because of what happens outside the church, our joy is complete through Jesus Christ. The true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. The Spirit we receive does not make us a slave to fear. It makes us children of God, with which our spirit cries out, Abba, Father. And the Spirit Himself joins with our spirit. In the scripture up here, it says, we worship God through His Spirit, and our pride is in Jesus Christ. We do not put trust in ourselves or anything that we can do. To say we are God's children, if we are God's children, we will receive blessings from God together with Christ. But we must suffer as Christ suffered, so that we will have glory as Christ had glory. I was looking up the word pride, you know, and I was looking, well, actually, I wasn't looking up the word pride. I came across this week a definition of the word pride that I thought, I like the way that it put it. It said, pride is caring more about what others think than what God thinks. And when you break down pride and you think about what pride is and the different definitions that we've heard of what pride is, that really sums it up. It's when we care more about what other people think than what God thinks. When we look to the praise of men other than the praise of God, no, we have pride. When we think about ourselves as important as Paul was saying, I'm so unimportant, that is pride. And so Paul was talking about we should not boast in ourselves. We should boast in the Lord. We should truly begin to subdue our pride and make God and Christ the focus. And as Paul says, he was nothing. He talked about being trash, being refuse, and having the reason to brag. If anyone's going to have pride, Paul was going to have pride. Because, I mean, if you think about your life and think about what you've done throughout your life to glorify God and the dedication and the heartfelt servitude that you put toward Christ, you can see that from the very beginning with Apostle Paul and the things that he did. Even though he was on the wrong track, he was out to serve God in the best way that he knew how. Sometimes we have to learn through the course of our life the best way to serve God. Sometimes we have it wrong, and we should not be afraid to admit when we discover that we have it wrong. Paul wasn't afraid to admit it. Paul was right out there. He said, I messed up. He said, I was doing it all wrong. I said, it's what I was doing was for the in the right spirit, but was the wrong way. He said, and now I realize that was nothing and that Christ is everything. And now I'm going to commit myself to do it the right way. He said, those things that were important to me, but now I think they are worth nothing because of Christ. When we truly begin to understand what Christ has done for us, our priorities will change. He says, compared with the greatness of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord, nothing compares with the greatness of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. If we let other things get in between us and knowing Christ Jesus our Lord, then that's when we falter. Knowing indicates not understanding, knowing indicates an understanding of what God wants from us, not just a familiarity with it. You know, we need to know what God wants from us. This allows me to have Christ and to belong to Him. Because of knowing this, we can have a personal relationship with God. We can have a personal relationship through Christ. It's a belonging. It's not just an association. It's not just an acquaintance. But it is a belonging too. It is a brothership, a fathership, a servantship to the will of God. And if we only become familiar, then we probably have a very shallow relationship with God. God uses my faith to make me right with Him. I want to know Christ, Paul says. Until we know Christ, there is no basis for our faith. Our faith, if not based on our knowledge of Christ, is just the faith by what we've been told by somebody else. In essence, it's their faith. Until we know Christ, we have no true faith. Because our faith comes through that relationship experience in learning about Christ. And it comes from the excitement of studying His Word. And yes, we pick up things and we share with one another in our classes and in our discussions and things. And that's what the early church did. They came together to talk about what they learned about Christ and what they knew and to listen to people who had firsthand experience with Christ. And we do the same thing. We come together and we talk about these things. But we need to develop our own relationship with Christ. You know, when I was young, and most of the time, children have their parents' faith. That's all they know is what mom and dad have told them. They believe what their parents have told them. They trust what their parents have told them. And that's good. you know, that they do that because that means that they look up and they trust what their parents say. But as we begin to branch out on our own, we need to go out and we need to search deeper and for the meaning of what Christ has, because our faith is ours and it's nobody else's. And it's what ties me to my Lord Jesus Christ, knowing the things that I know and believing the things that I believe. I have that relationship, and it's a personal relationship. It's something that makes it unique for each individual person. My relationship with Christ may not be exactly the same as your relationship with Christ, and that's okay, because I think as we grow in the Lord, then our relationship becomes tighter, that we become closer, and I begin to understand God's will for me in my life, and it makes it a lot easier for me to just turn my life over to the Lord because I understand His purpose. I understand His will. He says, I want to know Christ and the power that raised Him. This refers both to both the Holy Spirit through God the Father, but it also can refer to the power that transforms our lives. Paul says, I want to know Christ. I want to share in His sufferings and conform to His death. I want to understand that. Isn't that the essence of what we want to understand? When we share in the suffering of Christ, you know, we're fortunate in our country that we're not tortured or we're not downtrodden completely because of what we believe. But we should be, if we are, we should be willing to stand up for it. We should be willing to suffer for it. But we need to understand that Christ's suffering, what it has done for us and what it means to us, and how that power transforms our lives. Paul was talking about physical suffering he was enduring when he spoke this passage, even for his faith, leading to death. You know, from the times Paul was called by God on the road to Damascus, and it dropped him to, he was blindly dropped to his knees, and that was God saying, Paul, this is what you're going to do for me. And from that point on, Paul, all he did was serve God. We don't get to get, maybe it would be better if God blinded us and dropped us to our knees, where we have that firsthand, you know, hammer over the head says, you better believe in me, like Paul did. But God knew that Paul was a faithful man and was striving to do His will. He was just misguided. So he knocked him down and he built him up, and Paul took that challenge and ran with it to the end of his life. It says up there, then I have this hope. Hope in this case is assurance. Okay, hope is not just I hope that what God promises me will come to pass. But for us, hope in this sense is assurance. It's not a maybe. We know what is promised for us by God. And when we talk about having that hope, it is the assurance that God will do what He says He does, and the faith that we have that God will make His promises true. Paul was on a mission to complete the will of God. We need to be on a mission to complete the will of God as well. We need to know God's will for our lives. We need to be open to where He sends us, and how He talks to us, and where He guides us, and the opportunities that He puts before us. Sometimes the opportunities are there, and we just don't open our eyes and see it. I know I've been like that at times where God has put something right before me, and it wasn't until later that I realized that it had been there all along, and that God was wanting me to work in this way for Him, and I completely missed it. We need to keep our eyes open to the opportunities of God. He says, forgetting the past. That is what God does for us, first of all. He says, you know, when you deny yourself and you put on Christ, God forgets your past. It's no more. It disappears. It's gone. And the problem is that sometimes we struggle with forgetting our own past. Our faith isn't strong enough to say that we know that God's forgiven us because we can't forgive ourselves. Paul, in serving the law, he killed people. He imprisoned people. He beat people. Those are things that are a lot more tragic than anything I've done in my life. And yet Paul says he's been able to forget that. He says, because God has forgotten it. And we need to be the same thing. We need to do the same thing in our lives. We need to not dwell on the fact that we lived a horrible life, if we lived a horrible life. That we did things that we're very ashamed of in our past. But know that we're living for God, and those things are forgotten. And so we should forget them as well. You know, God buries it, and we should bury it. If God can forgive us, who are we not to forgive ourselves? Straining toward what's ahead. Straining is separating what you want to keep it from what you don't want. There are many things in our path that will need to be strained. It's an ongoing process. We tend to think of the word strained as physical exertion. But I'm thinking of straining in this passage as being a little bit different. It's separating out the pure from the impure. It's as we're in our walk with God that we're straining out the evil that's before us of this world. And we're keeping the good of God with us. And we constantly working at separating those things. We're straining it out. So that the only thing that's in our hearts are the pure and the good and the wholesome and the godlike information and things that we know. And we throw away the bad stuff, just like you do when you're cooking and you're straining something. You know, you're trying to separate out the bad from the good. He says, I keep trying to reach the goal. As a Christian, we have the prize already. It's a relationship with God through Christ by the power of the Spirit. We keep trying so as not to stray from the course. Let me put it in football terms. We hold tightly to the prize, just like the running back holds tightly to the football. So that the world who's trying to knock the ball from our arms, make us fumble, and lose sight, lose our grip on what God has given us, try to jar it from our grasp. We should hold on tightly so that we don't fumble before we cross the goal. That's kind of the way our Christian walk is. You know, we have this precious thing in our grasp. We have it right here in our arms. And sometimes we don't hold tightly enough to it. Sometimes we're a little lax about how we're carrying it out here and taking a chance that someone is going to knock that from us. And mind you, the world is trying to knock Christ from us, out of our grasp. They beat us over the head. They're like the linebackers coming in and trying to hit them from every angle that they can. You know, they're trying to jar loose our faith. We hold tight to what we know. We hold tight to what we believe. And we hold tight to Jesus Christ. The life above. The high places. The kingdom of love. The presence of God. We are in the presence of God now. We are members, as his children, of the kingdom of love. We look forward to the day that we can walk with him in the heavenly realms, that we can bow before him. But we're already there right now. Where our relationship with God is what it right now is the relationship that he wants us to have with us for the rest of our lives through eternity. And so, by staying faithful to him now, this is something that will be an ongoing thing. It's not something that we hope for in the future. The prize is getting to be there with God. But the gift we've already received. And that's being with him. This is what I call blessed assurance. Now, I know we're not singing that song. I didn't ask David to sing that song necessarily. But this is what I call the blessed assurance of God, that he will give us strength to endure through the toughest climbs in our lives with confidence on our never-ending journey upward toward the final prize. I think of JJ's lesson last week, and you saw the sheep and the goats on the side of very steep hillsides or mountains, or somewhere some of those goats were standing on the side of a dam. And God says in Habakkuk chapter 3, he says, I will make your feet like hinds' feet and help you to leap upon the high places. He said, you trusted me, and I will make your stance assured. I will make your stance strong. And though there are things that are going to be, although the way is sometimes steep, and the pathway is sometimes narrow, and sometimes it just seems like there's a precipice that's too high to get over, he says, I will change you. I will make your feet so that you can leap upon the high places. And I believe that. I believe God is, if we turn ourselves over to God, we turn our hearts over to God, that he will help us to leap above the struggles of this world, to overcome the anguish and the pain, that the suffering that we have in this world is not, as Paul said, trash, it's nothing. You know, Paul endured a lot of suffering with joy. Not that he wanted to suffer, but he saw the bigger picture. He knew why he was suffering. He understood why he was suffering. And as long as the suffering that he was enduring did not distract him from what he knew his mission was, Paul accepted that struggle, that suffering, that pain, that sorrow with joy. I'm going to end with a quote by Michelangelo. Now, most of you know Michelangelo was a famous sculptor and artist and such like, but he said, in every block of stone, there's a beautiful statue. The sculptor just needs to chip away at the rough edges to find the beauty within. That's how I see our lives. I see our lives as like that block of marble that Michelangelo is looking at. And most people would look at it and say, oh, that's a block of marble. But he looks at it and says, that's a beautiful statue. God looks at us not like the block of marble, but like the beautiful statue. God sees us for our hearts. God sees us for who we are. We need to begin to chip away at those rough edges, at those things that keep us from being that thing of beauty before God, so that all the impurities, all the things that are our nemesis, that we struggle with in our lives, that they fall away, that they're chipped off, and that all is left is this beautiful Christian person that dedicates their life before God, that lives to serve him, that honors him by the things that we do and by the things that we say. Here in chapter 3 of Philippians, Paul is trying to encourage us to do that. He's saying, you know, everything else other than Christ is worthless. He is the apex. He is the peak. And though sometimes we feel that we're in the valley, that if we just look at the perspective of that God has put us up here because of Jesus Christ through his sacrifice, that we know that there's nothing that can stop us from being the people that we want to be. You know, the love of God is in this church here at Echo Hills. And I believe that we're here to serve him. And I want you to know, we all are helpful to one another. We all are encouragers of one another. We all know our weaknesses. We all know our sorrows. We all know our infirmities. And I love this place because everybody is willing to reach out to those people that are suffering, to those people that are hurting, to those people that are struggling, and help to chip those pieces off and help make one another a fine church that meets here at Echo Hills. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, help us to cast off the impurities of this world, to realize that in the scheme of things, as Christian people, as people who your Son came and saved through his suffering and his death, that we are raised in your eyes, and our sins are no more when we accept him as our Savior. Lord, these things that plague us in this world are nothing. They can't hurt us. They can't separate us from your love unless we let them. Lord, help us to have the strength and the dedication, and help us to strain the evil from our lives so that only the good and the pure and the love of Christ shines out. In doing so, the world around us will see that we have something that they don't have and will desire it. They'll desire your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your blessings of this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing our song, please.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. Dance on, blessed he.